Hello, Voices from the Bench community. Pat Kuhn from Ivoclar here. Innovation and education are inseparable partners in our profession, where continuous change offers you the opportunity to raise the bar of dental care and elevate what is clinically and technically possible. So we at Ivoclar have created Ivoclar Academy, where we support you through cutting-edge educational programs and resources. We understand that you have busy schedules and individual preferences for learning. To help leverage your time and maximize your learning experience, the Academy has educational opportunities that are easily accessible and fit any learning style. Whether you are looking for an in-person program or for virtual education, Ivoclar Academy offers multi-channel opportunities that allow you to learn at home, in the classroom, in the office, or on the go. In addition, we offer CE-accredited learning opportunities. You can receive a certificate of attendance for each CE-eligible program or training course completed from the Ivoclar Academy. Simply log on to ivoclar.com and click on the Academy link located at the top of the page to get started. Happy learning.
Welcome to Voices from the Bench, a dental laboratory podcast. Send us an email at info@voicesfromthebench.com and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Greetings and welcome to episode 315 of Voices from the Bench. My name is Elvis.
My name is Barbara.
What's happening, Barb? How are you?
I'm good. You know how I am. Busy, busy, busy.
Yeah, you seem to be really busy. You guys super slammed right now at this time of the year?
Yeah, I'm too busy, honestly.
You're not having the spring break slowdown?
I honestly am hoping next week we will, but right now, it's busy. But you know what?
Yeah.
I got no complaints. You and I have the podcast going on, work going on, life going on. We've got, you know, good things.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. I think I recorded this week in my coat because I just walked in the door and hit the button. And as soon as we were done, I had to go out to another appointment. So
we're talking on Saturday, but doesn't this get released on the eclipse day?
Yeah, it actually is. You know, it's funny here in Indiana, just for and giggles, I guess. I looked up hotel prices.
Yeah.
Most of them sold out. The few that were left were just regular hotels. They're usually like $100, $120, $700 a night.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
All for that? Is it like a once in a how many years?
I think.
I don't know. I don't follow that stuff.
Yeah. I think the last time was in the 70s it happened.
Okay.
I'm not sure, but maybe 2044? I don't know. I don't know.
So you know you're going to look, right? At least.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I mean.
Okay.
Just going to go stand outside and look up with special glasses on.
And you saved yourself $500 because you're right there and you don't need a room. So that's a plus.
Should have rented out the house. Is what I should.
Ah, what's happening? Let's talk.
Well, in less than a month, if you can believe it or not,
I do.
Barb and I, we are doing something that's always kind of been a dream of the podcast. Ever since 2019, we have taken this podcast to dental shows to set up and record people in the industry face to face. We have always recorded here in the U.S.
Right on.
I gave it some thought, did some quick counting in my head. I think we've been to 9 different states with this podcast, which is
That's
pretty cool.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. But we've always wanted to go international and record in a different country.
We thought we'd go to the IDS, right? That was the first thought we were thinking.
That was always our thought, just because it's like the biggest show in the world.
Right.
And, you know, we actually have a lot of listeners that are not in the U.S., which is super amazing, and we are super thankful for.
So tell us.
Well, it's not a secret, but the good people at ExoCAD have finally made this happen for us.
And thank you very much.
Absolutely. May 9th to the 10th, we will be in Mallorca, Spain, recording at the ExoCAD Insights 2024 meeting.
That's so crazy.
It's amazing. Woo-hoo. We are super excited to participate in this epic event and capture just a small bit of all the amazing things that are happening over those few days. Now, head over to exocad.com/insights2024 to see this amazing lineup of speakers and events. Now, there's still time. We're getting close here. We're a month out, but there's still time to register and book some flights. and use the code VFTB15 and save 15% off of the registration fee.
That's a lot. Like, that's amazing. 15%.
It adds up. And I tell you, this area, this Majorca, it looks amazing.
Oh, I know. But everybody, we want to remind you guys about the shirts and the hoodies that are still up for sale for a limited time. And I want to emphasize limited time. We sold these back before Lab Day, and they were a huge success in raising money for the Foundation for Dental Laboratory Technology. They have a super great logo on the back with the saying, quote, dental technicians making dentists look good since the 1700s. So head over to any of our social media pages or voicesfromthebench.com/shirts. You got to order before April 18th. And please don't ask us after that, because that happens all the time. I keep sharing. I told my sister. I told my friends. April 18th, 2 weeks.
And we're not bringing it back again. I promise this time. This is it.
Come on.
All right. So we're on week 3 of conversations from the Ivoclar Ballroom back at LMT Lab Day Chicago 2024. This episode features 4 amazing people that sat down to talk to us about all things dental technology. First up is past podcast guest, who comes all the way back from episode 45 and 46.
Hey, that was like 5 years ago, bro.
It was such a long time ago. James Angeloni. So most people know him as the Denture Man, and he stops by with his son, also James Angeloni.
Yeah, man.
Who is his junior, but not junior, because the Denture Man is a junior, which makes this James a third.
Confused.
Yeah, are you confused?
I am.
Yeah, I am too. The Denture Men talk about switching all conversions to the Smart Denture Conversion System, all about dad teaching his son his technique before he heads out to dental school, and doing conversions at Lab Day against other technicians for a cash prize.
Then we get to talk to the amazing Patrick Kuhn. Pat is the digital consultant for Ivoclar. What does that mean, you ask? He gets to be a part of the R&D for them and also educates all of us on the best way to get the most out of our Ivoclar equipment and materials. Pat talks about his history in the Air Force, starting as a dental assistant, working for the military as a civilian, joining Ivoclar, getting into education, and some exciting new and coming soon things from Ivoclar. Printable lithium disilicate, anyone? Hello. I'm all over that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then we wrap up the episode with a special conversation with a very special lady. Barb, I don't know where you found this lady. I remember turning around and there she was, Peggy Alexander. She stopped by Lab Day after attending the American Prosthodontist Association meeting that was happening that same weekend. Peggy is a clinical instructor at the University of Texas and has a great story about getting to where she is now. When she wanted to go to dental school, she was told that she was too old and no one would want a female dentist.
Can you believe that? God, that makes me crazy.
But you see, Peggy is 87 years young. And talked about the issues wanting to create a career when she lived in Alabama in the 50s. But that didn't stop her from succeeding and having a wonderful career. Peggy talks about getting her degrees, raising a family, getting into teaching, the importance of proper communications with the lab, and what's next for the soon-to-be retired Peggy. So join us as we chat with James Angeloni Jr., James Angeloni III, Patrick Kuhn, and Peggy Alexander. Whether you're looking to elevate your craftsmanship or looking to cut back on cost, look no further.
Vita MFT Teeth are the ultimate solution for creating lifelike and stunning smiles.
Crafted with precision and backed by cutting-edge technology, Vita MFT Teeth offer unparalleled aesthetics and durability.
And since Vita believes in the power of experiencing excellence firsthand, for a limited time only, they are offering you the chance to get a complimentary case sample.
That's right, a full case, absolutely free. just visit VitaNorthAmerica.com/free MFT.
Don't wait any longer to start providing your customers a premium tooth at an economy price. Redeem your free case sample, and if you're ready to buy, Vita will even give you an extra 10% off discount by shopping online on their newly launched online store.
Join the Vita family today, and we appreciate your support of the podcast. Voices from the Bench. The Interview.
It's not even dentured gentlemen, just men.
Men. I mean, if we collaborate, we really got to come up with a better name.
You standing?
I'm sitting.
No, you got to, that's what, just in case people watch.
We're not presenting to anybody besides the.
Oh, we're presenting right now. How's everybody doing? This is James Angelini, the denture men, coming to you live from the Avoclar situation.
I'm just going to stand over here. I'm going to let you guys do your own thing. Just whatever you want to do. This is super exciting. Here we are back at the Avoclar Ballroom, Chicago Lab Day 24. I have the Angelonis.
Oh.
James and James Angeloni.
The denture men.
The denture men. So let's start.
Yes.
How do I address James? Senior, junior?
That's going to be weird. This is the problem. So I'm actually a junior and he's the third.
Oh, you're the third?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a legacy.
I didn't realize that. All right, junior.
So junior's the original denture man.
Yeah.
Coming here from Avoclar. Today, my son's with me, and he's in university, first year of undergrad.
For what?
Biology, pre-dental.
You're going into dental? You want to be a dentist?
Yes.
I'm going to have to ask you to leave. What makes you want to be a dentist?
Well, probably like prosthodontist.
Oh, you
so I could do the
big
stuff he does, but have DR in front of my name.
Do you just want to give him instruction? Do you want to?
Yeah, I want to be the boss.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
And I'll fix his mess once he's done.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah.
When was your episode? I should have looked it up. We're talking.
I think I was 15. I was out there.
Episode 15?
It was something. I looked at it last night. It was in 2018, though.
Oh, my Lord.
A long time ago.
Anything happened since then?
Oh, so much has happened. Still lecturing internationally for Straumann, doing a lot in Canada for the denturists. Today, James and myself are at Lab Day Chicago 2024, and what we're doing is running the Smart Denture Conversion Booth. Not being sales reps, but being a master technician and an apprentice technician, our booth, we want people to come on down and challenge me, the denture man, in a conversion off. And if you can beat me in a conversion off, I'll actually give you $1,000 cash. But
do you have the cash on you right now?
No, it's done at the booth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll split it with you. End this show as fast as we can. My idea for the show is just to get like a lot more traction in the booth. Is let's have my son, the apprentice, come on by, and we could show a master tech and apprentice at the same time, two different skill levels. And really, he's done with his conversion really almost right after me. So me doing 100 a year, him doing 23 conversions in 2023 with the system. 23 and 23. that's got to be a shirt. So it's very interesting because a lot of people like seeing James.
Barb joined us.
Hi, I have been wanting to see you and talk to you forever. Good to see you guys. So morning.
It's James.
Oh, James.
Yes.
It's
father, son. I love it.
Junior and the third.
Nice.
So
good. I'm glad I'm here. Sorry I'm late, y'all.
No worries.
Okay.
So you're at the Smart Conversion Denture. Smart Denture Conversion.
Yes.
Thank you. Sorry. And we had him on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a lot of people coming up to the booth know what it is?
So right now we're getting a lot of traction with Smart Dentures. It's really only been out for about 2.5-3 years.
Yeah.
But with the traction that this thing is getting because of the part, once you see it and once you do it, it's really hard to go back to the old school traditional
100%.
Way of converting. Because this way of Smart Dentures, if you could reline a denture, you could do a conversion. Because it is really all we're doing downstairs is just teaching people how to reline and then drill some holes and convert. So yesterday's, we did a competition, and mine was done in 16 minutes and 8 seconds.
Six seconds.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's pretty quick. And even the one that was competing against me, she was done in around 21 minutes. So it's extremely quick and very proficient downstairs.
I think I saw a video of that on Facebook this morning.
Yeah.
Were they videoing you guys? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So that's quick, right? So how long does it normally take, or would it normally take?
Six
without?
Hours.
Yeah, very
traditionally. Seriously?
No, very traditionally, it's going to be about an hour and a half with a technician that does this all the time. But
that's
if you
significant.
Have, if you have a junior technician, it can take up to 2.5 hours. So when we have a patient in the chair, we want to get that patient out of the chair as fast as possible because surgery is done. So me being the clinician, I just want to do what I got to do, get that patient in a very nice provisional, and send them on their way.
Yeah.
So with smart dentures, the dentures are actually stronger because we're not opening these huge holes. And doing a reline with a hard acrylic so there's no composite, making it even more stronger. So I've had great success over the last 2 years with iVotion dentures and the smart conversion parts. With those two combined in my career the last 2 years, fractures, remakes, and everything else has been done.
Just down.
Done, yeah.
When did you first get introduced to this?
Oh, this is the greatest story. So let's see. So, okay, about 2 years ago, Brandon Crawford, the owner of Smart Denture, called me down to Apex, North Carolina. So he calls me up and says, "Hey, Denture Man, I want you to come on down."
So he knew about you about on social media.
Social media.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sure.
And he's like, "Hey, Denture Man, come on down to North Carolina." And I said, "No problem. What do we want to do?" He's like, "Well, I'm going to do 4 conversions in before lunch." And I said, "Well, I thought I was coming to watch you. I don't want to work." He goes, "No, absolutely. You're not touching anything. I just want to watch. I want you to watch me, and I want you to show you the system. And I'm going to do 4 conversions before lunch." And I told him, "BS, that's impossible."
I was starting at 1 a.m.
No, it was actually at 8 o'clock. And no kidding, it was a set of twins. And by noon, the second twin was done with his double conversion. Once I saw that in the hospital, I said, "Brandon, whatever it takes, I want in." Since then, I don't do big hole conversions anymore. It's only small.
You haven't done it at all?
So he was the creator of them?
Yeah, Brandon Crawford.
So he actually pulled you in and smart man.
The personality on social media, he just wanted to get that out there.
Of course.
So he wanted to meet me. And once I saw it, it was game-changing for me. Absolute game-changer just because of the fact that we're turning something from an hour and a half into literally, me in my hands, 15 minutes, but even a rookie tech, 30 minutes and you're done.
Wow. It's amazing. So I'm assuming you're lecturing for them, correct?
Yes. I'm a KOL for Straumann and Smart Denture Conversions.
So do you go, like, to every meeting, or how do you work everything into your schedule, I guess, question?
Yeah, they'll call me up, and I'll do a couple. We just did a show in Sarasota.
Really? Yeah. That's my neighborhood. I'm in Tampa.
That's awesome.
That's cool.
We're actually talking on right now, so I want to come down to your guys' booth. We're talking about Lab Day California and about doing the same show. Kind of doing the competition thing.
Monday West is a good show.
Right. I'm pretty excited for California in May. So
I think competition is a cool way of getting it out there. We went to the DTG, and they did that sort of event. Mm-hmm. And it's cool. You're watching people, and you're watching them work,
Everybody's
and you're moving.
Excited.
You got all this adrenaline going. Right. And then you're like, 16 minutes, I'm done.
Well, and at this venue, because it's all technicians, I'm not letting dentists compete against me because this is not their show. But the technicians literally just, we have to see it. We have to touch it as techs. A lot of us literally I'm sorry, but I literally have to mess it up before I'm good. So, like, let me mess it up on a Typodon. And in my booth, I'm like, please mess it up in front of me. I'll show you how to fix it. And then you'll have a successful case when you get back home.
Yep. Yeah. So what's it like for you working with your dad?
It's fun.
How long have you been doing it?
I started last summer. He brought me on just to show me.
And it went ding.
Yeah. And he gave me the dental bug. And
what did you think in your first surgery?
I'm like, I was a little nervous. Never seen anything like that.
Flapping in the blood.
Yeah.
And
so I think it was a double arch. And I was watching, and the surgeon was like, "If you feel queasy, you got
to
pass out.
That's what they say. Get
that would be me.
Get out of the room.
Lean against the wall."
But it wasn't like that. I thought it was really cool.
That's kind of spectacular that you like.
Yeah.
Immediately liked it. Cause that'd be tough for me.
And then, like, dad's point of view and doing his stuff, that was fun. Like, it wasn't boring work. It was it was cool.
So you've been doing it only a year?
Yeah.
Under a year? Mm-hmm. So what do you actually do in the lab? Like, how do you train a young tech, I guess, is my question.
No, so my lab's actually in a Sprinter van. So I just do conversions, go to hospitals and OMS. James and I, we run around 22 oral surgeons in Cleveland. And our business is really going out there and doing technicians for the specialists. Because over shutdown, literally I saw a lot of things go wrong in our industry.
But I also saw when I was working for our pros that when he would send me out conversions, the oral surgeons, the pros, and the perio need techs too. But those techs have to be at an extremely high level because they could see right through you.
Oh, yeah.
So when I saw that through shutdown, I couldn't sit down. And it was months that we all had to do our thing. So I bought a van, and I made a lab inside my van.
Nice.
So now I just go around and convert. I'm trying to get the van to one of the shows one of these days and put it in the show.
Oh, that'd be kind of cool.
And then do a conversion in
the van.
Is it wrapped?
That's cool.
Is it wrapped?
You know what I'm talking about.
That's such a guy question.
No, the reason I didn't want to wrap it is because there is a lot of implant stuff in there, and I just didn't want people like advertising.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Do you have to have like a different license or anything to be mobile like that?
It's in Ohio. It's all just being a lab. Yeah. So I do have my own practice that I could go back and do things, but most of the stuff is at oral surgery practices and in the van.
So you guys work together in tight quarters?
Yes.
I'm sure it's big. Yeah. I'm not being,
So I'm giving James the first ever Denture Man scholarship. So with his scholarship, he's got to work when he's on holidays and in the summer. So in the summer and holidays, he helps me with lab works, and I'm going to send him this year on his own to convert because his apprenticeship.
You have a good one on your own yet?
No. I mean, he's been next to me, but
sure. But solo, yeah, that's my push for him this year.
It's pretty sweet. Do you like working with your dad? Yeah. I worked with mine, that's why I'm asking.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah.
And after we're done, we'll ask you off to the side if you
Well, what do you sometimes run into, like stress level? Like, you know, what goes wrong?
Well,
or what could go wrong? I'm a ceramist, so just kind of fill me in.
Well, what could go wrong in surgery is really like an implant moving, or we have to reshuffle something. Even if we do a guided surgery, we have to have a high-level technician here, because if something goes wrong, literally that surgeon or that perio is going to stare at you as a technician and tell you to fix it. Or they'll literally ask you, what should we do? So as a converter in this industry, you have to know about implants, because they're literally going to ask you a question. And if you give them the wrong answer, they will never talk to you again. So with anatomy, implant technology, and being amongst the best of the greatest out there, because I don't like to skimp on this procedure, because a lot of my patients are paying $60,000 a mouth.
Yeah.
So with something like that, being blue collar, the technician, that's a lot of money for me. So I always thought, let's just give them the best. So that's why I always wanted to do iVotion, the best implants, and now last 2 years with Smart Denture.
So you just learn all the implants as you go.
And
my son's an implant technician, and there's just so much to it.
Yeah, it's a lot to take in. But you weren't here when we were talking about it, but I'm a freshman in university right now. So this is just great information, because I do want to go to dental school after undergrad.
Wow.
So learning all this couldn't ask for anything better.
Yeah. Straight up, we were talking to a doctor and a tech yesterday, and they were talking about how much we need removable and people to help with it and learn it and teach it. It's just doctors don't know.
No, and especially with removable technology right now, it's kind of gone down. I mean, a couple years ago, the removable tech was the best of the best. You know, 20 years ago, it was the ceramist.
Yeah,
now it's like the implant tech and the converter that it's out there. But what we're having a hard time right now is people that actually could fabricate dentures. And that's all over the industry.
Yeah.
So being the denture man himself, it's kind of frustrating, because I get to ask to make so many dentures, but I'm in surgery so much that I can't really make dentures. James has never even made a denture.
But he won't teach me.
Teach me to make a denture.
You can wait.
Yeah. Who makes your dentures you convert?
Right now, Roe. Dental lab.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I get
BJ.
My iVotion. Yeah, BJ.
That's
from
where the iVotion comes in.
Yeah, he lectured yesterday
with some
of my slides, which was awesome. So I get my stuff, because I live 7 minutes from Roe.
Oh, do you really?
Mm-hmm. He gave me all my iVotions, and then I convert all over Cleveland.
I love your two-story McDonald's out there. I'm just going to say that.
I love it.
What is that?
I've been to Roe a few times. Like right around the corner is a McDonald's. It's like a swanky McDonald's. It's got
nice.
Two stories.
Yeah, high-end.
I don't know why it's so different.
And when they built that 20 years ago, it was like a mansion. We're like, what is this?
Yeah, it's so weird.
So I got to ask, did you guys already cover the denture man and where you came up with that? And obviously that's what you are, but
let's talk about
it's
it
your
again.
Tag
we
name.
Probably did 15 years ago.
Yeah.
When we talked.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's actually a great story on how I became the denture man. Well, so I did serve 2 tours in Iraq. The kid sitting next to me right now, he was born in 05. I served my last tour in Iraq in 05. So the first time I met this kid when he was 6 days old.
Really?
Yeah. So this guy was 6 days old when I first met him. So my life was completely changed from going to fighting, now having a family, definitely issues with the head and actually being around crowds. Yeah. I have severe PTSD and severe social phobia. So a lot of people ask me how I can present in front of 1,000 dentists. I just say, I know the knowledge and we're going to go ahead and do it. But how I became, when he was 6 days old, I had an issue actually getting out there in society. So my dad, which is walking around here, is a dentist. And he said to me, get off your butt. I'm going to teach you how to make dentures.
The original James Angeloni?
No, my stepdad. He's my dental dad. So he's walking around. Kent Kamik, wherever you're at, I love you. All right. So he showed us how to make dentures. And in 2011, I had a periodontist in town that wanted to do the new all-on-four. He went to a program and he needed a denture tech. So he's like, hey, come on in. So I said, I don't have no idea what you're talking about. And he's like, okay. And I'm sitting next to surgery, and I did get queasy, even me. So the first time I saw blood since Iraq, I was just like,
I can see that.
And then, but right after that surgery was done, I looked around and I said, oh, my God, I'm part of a team again. And that was the best thing. Now, we know as technicians getting yelled at by lab slips and on the phone all the time. But being chairside with a specialist and them actually thanking you and loving you, that was the best. So now, just like being a Marine, being part of a team, I'm actually a part of a team in dentistry, which I absolutely love. And when I was embraced by the specialist, which taught me everything, I loved it even more. So now I'm a part of the ACP, American College of Prosthodontics. And love and life.
You're part of a ton of teams. I mean, it seems like every day on Instagram, it's like you and this other practice and this oral surgeon, and then the next day, it's another one.
Yeah, so how I run my business in Cleveland is I do run it just for the specialists. So I do the surgeries and the workups for the specialists. And if the general dentist wants my help to restore, I do charge a super premium because I actually lecture and I teach that dentist how to, you know, to restore these.
The finals.
The finals, yeah. So when you guys see me on Insta with, like, a GP, that's just me at that GP's office just trying to, like, promote their practice, because that's all I do on Insta is I'll take a picture of my surgeon, promote their practice a little bit, and what the surgeons all see is like, oh, why is James over there? I want James, you know. So that little bit of competition,
that's brilliant.
Yeah, that free advertising on social media, that's how I really ran it.
Yeah, that's cool.
Smart.
How involved are you with how are you involved with Roe with what they give you?
No.
You see the designs and like, yes,
From the get-go, everything out from Roe I see. I have really zero problems just because I've, you know, grew up around Roe.
Yeah.
I do my live surgery courses at Roe. So and I do my own courses at Roe.
They're so a little facility.
Yeah, we have
nice.
A great partnership, and there's no competitive and stuff with
I just wasn't sure how involved you were with moving teeth, making sure they do it right.
Oh, yeah, they'll show me the screenshots, and most nine times
that's
out of
the
10,
best way to do it, I swear. Yeah. As long as you're working with a designer that knows what they're doing, and you're just like, good.
And especially, I'm in Ivoclar's booth right now, Ivotion is really the Cadillac right now of these things.
Because
even downstairs with printed dentures, I'm destroying these things. But when I do an Ivotion, it's rock solid.
Yeah. When you say destroying, what does that mean? Do they just crumble?
Yeah, so sometimes when we got to convert, we got to like literally dig these big holes in these things. And the more holes we put in there, the weaker this thing gets. So just imagine having a lower denture with 6-8 millimeter holes in it. Like you drop this thing and it's going to shatter. Yeah. So that is a big complication.
Makes a lot of sense. I've never heard that before, but it makes a lot of sense.
What if we printed them a little thicker?
So even if we print them thicker, so once the converter converts, it actually gets even smaller.
Yeah.
But and it also depends on what acrylic or composite that technician or denturist use to do the pickup.
Yeah.
So what I like to use is literally methylmethacrylate self-cure acrylic for all of my stuff, just because I'm not a big fan of composite with methylmethacrylate because I do have bonding issues.
Yep, yep.
So all of my even guided cases or freehand cases, what I like to do is Unifast Triad from GC America, and I've had zero problems with that right now also. So.
Oh, that's what I use.
Mm-hmm.
On the very
but you've been through a lot of material and finally find ones that really work well. So you probably, obviously, KOL.
Mm. Yeah. And being a converter, like a syringe of any composite is going to cost you $100. And a small jar of that same acrylic I was talking about is about $100 for 10 conversions. So if you do a lot, I would recommend going to acrylic. Yeah.
So, awesome. Younger James,
yes.
Have you figured out how many conversions you have to do before you pay for dental school?
No, not yet. No,
that's
no,
a great question.
Because I'm not paying for dental school.
Wow.
$1 million.
Well, good luck to you, obviously.
Yeah, thank you.
Got your plate full. Learning from the best is no better than that, that's for sure.
You can't have a better teacher.
No, really. Yeah. And my grandpa being a dentist, too, I'm learning the best of both worlds.
Yeah. Is he still a dentist?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you go into the practice?
Occasionally, but it's mainly with this guy.
Yeah.
How did you know you wanted to become a dentist?
So before he picked me up to work with him, I wanted to major in psychology. But after the first surgery and really that first summer of seeing how these things go, I'm like, this is awesome. I want to do this.
It's kind of neat how that works, you know.
But truthfully, I really didn't show him dentistry over the summer because he was only with oral surgeons. So he actually saw a broken condyle. Yeah. He saw some cancer patients. He didn't really see dentistry. So when he comes over, I try to like not let him go to the GPs. Because I don't want him to show him the ugly stuff of the GP. I want to show
hygiene
him.
Check.
At the higher level. Yeah.
So I just wanted to keep him at, like, the extreme level to see what happens.
Yeah.
And it's awesome.
And if you can take that, you can take anything. Seriously. Yeah. That's pretty spectacular. Yeah. Well, good luck to you. That's awesome.
Thank you.
So you come back to us and talk to us in a couple years. When
good luck on your competitions, man.
Oh, yeah. So we got a couple more today. And if the technicians don't want to compete against me, James will be competing against me.
So what do they do? You just say, come on over, and we're gonna do a competition and see who you can get. Yep. And they sit down and just get their hands in it?
Yep, down at the booth.
$1,000.
$1,000 if you could beat the denture man in
Are you
conversion.
Serious?
Mm-hmm. Well, $1,000. So that's what we're trying to do.
Oh, that makes a lot
Maybe
of sense.
Maybe I'll
try. Cool.
I've never done it.
But nobody will, but if they can, $1,000 is
Who gets $1,000 if nobody wins?
It's just for next time.
You don't get to pocket.
No, I'm probably going to say that. You got to have to give me that. You
know, doesn't sound like he needs to pocket $1,000.
I could pocket $1,000. So what about me?
That'll just go right to your scholarship, buddy.
You better beat him.
Yeah.
Do you think you could beat him?
No. I got close yesterday, but I had some complications in the conversion. But I'm still learning. He's got thousands under his belt, and I've done probably like 30.
That's not too bad.
23
though.
Actual cases. Yeah. So I'm still learning.
Yeah. And you refuse to do traditional now.
Yeah. Now, I call it big hole. Now,
I know we've said goodbye like six times. But
no, that's cool, though. I like it. Big hole.
Yeah, big hole. Because that's the way that we traditionally had to do this all the way back from 1983 when we first started doing all on four. It was
grind the hell out of
always there. Big hole. And that's the issue with those. They're not aesthetic. We're destroying the occlusion on these things. And when I'm in a hospital, we can't do occlusal adjustments. So there's a lot going down.
Why not?
Just because of the dust in the true OR situation.
Can't do it in the mouth.
In an OR.
In
a hospital situation.
Interesting.
A lot of that stuff, when I'm in a hospital, true hospital, we'll do the pickup, and then once I do the pickup and the surgeon does a reline because we're in a hospital and I can't go in the mouth as a tech in the hospital.
Yep.
So he uses my hand, like my words, his hands. So once he does the pickup, then I go down to the van in the hospital parking lot, and I'll do the conversion.
Did it park way far away because you don't have special parking or something?
No. And the funny part is I got a lot of bass in the back, too, so you could hear me when I'm converting. So
van shakes.
The van shakes, so you know I'm working. But that's what I love because I can just do the crazy, and then when the surgery's done, the surgeon's closing, I go back to my van, which is my personal lab.
Yep.
Comfortable, everything's there. I rock and roll. Once the patient gets out of recovery, we go screw the provisional in and get out of there. So,
yeah.
Dang.
Yeah. But you don't do the traditional at all.
No, traditional at all.
Like, if you got a call and they said, I want to do it, you're like smart.
I'm not your man.
No. My fee comes in with the smart stuff, and I say, this is what it is. If they give me a complaint saying, hey, I don't want to do that, I'll credit the smart parts and then show them at the end how valuable it is.
But you'll still do it traditionally.
Oh, no. I'll do it for free.
Oh, so that's how much you
and that's
believe it.
Because usually the surgeons, and even my profs, they're like, no. I'm like, okay, the first one's free. And then they see it, and they're like, oh, my God, like a screw hole's coming right out of the incisal.
Sure.
I would have to destroy a whole tooth. They're like, oh, my God, that part saved our case.
Yeah.
So they see that, and they're like, whatever it costs. So then I say, well, now my fee's this, but it's going to come with all the parts, pieces, the dentures, the guides.
Wow.
Yeah. Because I just want to do concierge service to really just the OMS, you know, the alpha males of our industry.
Yeah.
Nice.
Fantastic, guys.
Well, thank you.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think that's the end, but thank you so much for talking to us.
Awesome.
That was fantastic. Good luck today. If you win the $1,000, you got to come back and tell us.
I'll brag about it.
All right.
Yeah, I would. Like I said earlier, it's not about the money. It's just saying you beat them.
I'm the new denture man.
Yeah, because we're heading down there now, so he's got at least 4 conversions left in today, so maybe this last one he could kind of get me.
Sweet. Yeah. Good luck.
Right. Thank you. 4 today?
It's not that bad. Yeah. It takes 15 minutes.
What else are you going to do at lab day?
I guess.
It's better than standing around.
That's
yeah,
true.
Exactly. That's
true. Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you, guys.
Awesome.
So this is super exciting.
Yes.
Not only are we at LMT Lab Day, not only are we in the Ivoclar Ballroom, we have Ivoclar legend Patrick Kuhn. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
That is right. That is correct.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing great,
I've been
Elvis.
Trying
How
to
you
get you on
doing?
This podcast for quite a bit.
A little while.
I think
it just never works out.
Yeah, it is what it is. But yeah. We're happy to have you now.
Absolutely. Ivoclar legend. What does that
mean?
Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking.
Well, I mean, I associate you with Ivoclar. It seems like you're like a major educator for them.
Oh, yeah.
I do a lot of education.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like every time there's a course at their facility, your name's attached to it.
So what's your role there? What do you do?
So
tell us all about it.
My role actually has changed recently. I just moved over. I was a technical consultant, which meant I worked with all of the materials and analog equipment and things of that nature.
Sure.
That's fun.
Yes, it was. It was
especially
a lot
with
fun.
Ivoclar. Talk about all
there's
theirs.
So much stuff.
Yeah.
So much stuff there. This last fall, we created a new department, and I am now called a digital consultant, which now means I am working with all of the digital equipment exclusively, digital materials, doing some R&D testing on new equipment, new
nice.
Softwares, things of that nature. So it's
so does
it's
that like float your boat and give
it does.
You a nice
it does yeah yeah
you don't have to mess with the Ivo base anymore.
No, not very often. Not very often. I can. I still work those some of those telephone calls and everything
yeah.
once in a while, just because we're trying still to find a new consultant to take my place from the technical side.
Really?
So,
that's interesting
yeah.
to put out there.
So if anybody out there is interested.
Interesting.
What do they need to know? Pretty much everything.
Yeah. They need to know
all
a little bit
Ivoclar.
Out of everything.
Yeah.
Not necessarily everything Ivoclar. It always helps.
Sure.
It helps with training. But to just be able to know most of the processes, both on the removable and fixed sides, is really a big thing.
Which is a lot.
It is a lot.
So, yeah, basically everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. But it's a good department to work with. Our director, Jeff Smith, and our manager, Gary Osborne, I've known both of them since, 1988. So both all in the Air Force together.
We were talking to Ed McLaren yesterday, and he said one of the most amazing things about Ivoclar and your company is that people have been there for 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
And the longevity and the relationships. And how long have you been there?
10 and a half years.
That's
it'll be
nice.
11 years in June. Yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty special.
It is. I, knowing Jeff and Gary for as long as I did, I'd run into them when I was in the Air Force still, and they were already working with Ivoclar. And just seeing
like,
what they did and everything
aboard?
Else.
When
yeah, yeah.
Aboard?
and it took me quite a while because I was waiting for my kids to get out of the house and all that stuff before I could make that move to Buffalo at the time. So
you're Air Force trained.
I am.
Oh, so you went through their program.
I did. I got in the Air Force in 1984 right after getting married and getting out of high school. Was a dental assistant
for three years.
Right after.
Wow.
Right after. And I'm still married to her.
Oh, that's
nice. Good
yes.
for you.
And
nice
I'm still married to her. We've actually known each other since about fourth grade. So
no kidding.
Yeah, no
so
kidding.
So those things do exist.
Yes, they do. They do. I went in right after high school.
Did you was pick a dental the program?
Assistant. No.
I know the
yes
story
no.
is kind of weird.
Yes
like,
and no. It's kind of weird. So what happened was I wanted to be a medical lab guy.
Okay.
They didn't have any jobs. And the recruiter convinced me that becoming a dental assistant was going to be great and profitable when I got out because I could clean teeth and I could do all that stuff, which we all know is not true nowadays.
Yeah.
Now. But I got in and I was did dental assisting for 3 years, and it was fun. I enjoyed it. But at the time, we needed something. If you were a first-term airman, you needed to have something called a career job reservation to be able to re-enlist into that same job.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just to make sure they didn't have too many dental assistants or too many aircraft loaders
that makes
or
sense.
Whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, my job, they said, nope, you're not getting a CJR. We have way too many dental assistants. So I had to cross-train.
Pivot.
I had to pivot.
Yeah.
And it just so happened they had 10 jobs or 10 spaces for cross-training in the dental lab. And I got lucky and got one of them.
Was it hard to get?
Yeah.
Or?
No.
I mean,
I filled out paperwork. I did have to go in and take a written spatial analyzing type test where I had to see a cube that maybe had some cutouts and then kind of figure out what it looked like from the other side.
Hmm. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. You know, you hear the things about people having to go in and carve chalk and things like that. Yeah. I don't see that much anymore, but back when I went through in 88, it was that spatial analyzer test.
So then you went through their program.
Went through the program.
Which is like, what, like 6 months?
It was 6 months at Shepherd Air Force Base.
3 years worth of knowledge in 6 months, I've heard.
It is.
So what do you do? Like, is it everything? They teach you everything?
Everything. A little bit of ortho, a little bit of crown and bridge, a little bit of removable. Yeah, just a little bit of everything over a six-month period. So you know just enough to be dangerous, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So do doctors.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But you get out, and after that, you get a good training program. And I went to a great base. I went to Eglin Air Force Base after that.
That's where I took my CDT.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great place, yep. Especially back in the 80s. It was wonderful. It was a wonderful place. Good place to be coming right out of tech school because we had a NCOIC who knew what he was doing and had a great training plan for us. So he was training all of us to be independent technicians.
Oh,
so
to make lives for yourselves.
To make lives for ourselves. And we had to be able to pass all these things before they would upgrade us.
So in the service, you didn't just do one thing all day long. That's good.
No. A lot of places you go in and you kind of specialize. You'll sit and be a waxer, depending on where you're at. Or you'll be only fixed or you'll be only removable. But, you know, it's nice to get to a place where they will at least train you in everything.
Yeah, for sure.
Fully. So,
then what'd you do? Did you actually, after school and after the military, did you open a lab?
No. Actually, I got out of the military. I retired in 2006, and I wasn't planning on retiring then. I was getting close to it, but I wasn't planning on it. But it just so happened that the lab I was running...
You realize that was 20 years ago.
Yes, ma'am, I do.
I don't know how the heck you could have retired.
I know.
What?
Exactly, I know.
Okay.
Well, I retired from the Air Force.
I'm doing the math in my brain.
I retired from the Air Force, yeah.
No, I get it.
But
some people are like, see ya.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it just so happened that the civilian that worked in our lab for me was ready to retire.
Gosh.
And my commander came to me and said, hey, if you... I know you're at that point where you're going to be start looking at retiring. If you want to retire, I will do a by name request for you and get you right back in here. So I retired in July.
And then became a civilian that did your same job?
Basically. So I retired in July. I came back to work at the end of September and doing, you know, lab work in the same lab I was running before.
Did they pay you okay back then?
It was okay. It was okay. It's what they paid lab techs anywhere in the military. Is it great? No. Is it good living? Sure. And it's got great benefits. So it was good. So I did that for another 7 years.
7 years. Wow.
7 years like doing that. So about 39 total years of federal service.
Nice.
And
Thank you.
Everything. I enjoyed it. It's I really appreciate your guys' support with that. But yeah, it's just it was the best thing I did for myself. Besides marrying my wife, of course.
Of course.
And at that point, after 7 years, one of our doctors had come in. He had just been to a dental meeting and had been talking to Bob Ganley.
Bob Ganley.
And Bob was looking for
my hero.
A new technician to come in for his technical support team. And they love the Air Force and military technicians. Most of our department is ex-military between Navy and Air Force. And he asked if he knew anybody. And he says, I know one person, but I got to talk to him first. So... just so happened, I sitting at my bench one day, and Dr. Roberts, he's actually at University of Kentucky now. He comes in and he taps on my shoulder and looks at me and does little finger curls and says, "Come here,
come here."
I'm like, "Oh crap! I'm in trouble."
Yeah. Can't be good.
We walked out of the lab, and because you know, in the Air Force, all our labs are situated in with dental offices. We went into one of our dental treatment rooms. He closed the door. I'm really thinking, "Oh boy, I messed up bad now." And he goes, have you ever thought about working for Ivoclar? And I'm like, well, actually I have. And I was actually at a point where I was ready to do something else. I was ready to go somewhere else.
Did
and,
the Army use a lot of Ivoclar stuff?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I
only the best.
I had been using, we use a lot of Vita porcelains. But I had been using a lot of Emax and Empress and everything else beforehand. Probably about 6 months to a year before I left, I had gotten an Ivo base into into. So we had just started using Ivobase. So yeah, so I knew a lot of the materials already. So that did help. But you know, the Air Force uses whatever is the best. You know, we try to find what is best.
So you said yes.
I said yes.
You up and moved to Buffalo?
I did. I up and moved to Buffalo.
Where were you living again?
I was at Keesler Air Force Base in Biloxi, Mississippi.
Okay. So you went from the heat to the cold.
Yes, I did. Did it at the right time because they got me to come up, and it was late spring, and I got up there, and the weather was beautiful. And then in that winter, they decided to have the worst winter they'd had in 100 years.
Oh, jeez.
And I'm sure your wife was like, thanks, honey.
No, actually, that's kind of a funny story, too. She was working for the military as well as a civilian nurse in the pediatric clinic there at Keesler and was staying in Biloxi until she could find a job somewhere
around
up
Buffalo.
There, up yeah, in yeah. Buffalo, that was military, because she was close to her retirement as well. And it just never happened. I was up there for 3 years, just never could find anything. She was in Biloxi for 3 years.
Dang.
And got to the point where I walked up to Jeff Smith one day in the hallway and just said, you know, I don't know how much longer I can do this. You know, we've been together since fourth grade. I don't know anybody any different here. So I just don't know how much longer I can do this. And they found a position for me at the training center in Sarasota. And Carol was lucky enough to get a job at the pediatric clinic at MacDill. So
Iva Clark found her a job.
No. It just so happened.
MacDill is in Tampa.
MacDill's in Tampa. Oh. It's right there.
Air Force,
huge. Right there.
Or military,
but it was so funny because she had applied after she found out I was moving to Sarasota. She applied.
I see. Yeah.
And then as we were moving down, she flew up to Buffalo to help me move. And as we were moving down, driving down from Buffalo to there, she got a call from the pediatric clinic on MacDill saying, hey, would you like a job?
Nice.
So, yeah.
That worked
so it
out
worked
nicely.
Out fantastic. So, yeah. So we've been back together since. Unfortunately, we closed the center at the beginning of COVID or middle of COVID there. But that did give me the chance to move back to Mississippi, where I'm living now, right down the street from my kids. And so it's nice. My kids and grandkids.
So how do you do what you do? Do you go back and forth to
Buffalo? Buffalo or fly wherever they need me. I do a lot of it virtually over the phone, a lot of webinars, things like that. So
that's the way of the world now anyways.
It is.
I mean, what do you do? Do you just teach people how to do whatever they want?
Yeah. It's a lot of it is, like I said, a lot of it's digital. I do a lot of iVotion training virtually to teach people with 3Shape and ExoCAD how to do that.
So if somebody buys a PM7, you're the one that kind of sets them up, trains them how to use
it. We do have our field equipment consultants
sure.
who do go in when they install and give them a quick training for a day and a half. But a lot of times they need something a little bit more in depth. So that's where our team, me and Elise Hifko, will go in and do some virtual training or maybe fly in or drive up. I'm probably going to be driving over to Louisiana in a couple weeks and maybe.
Well, you're in a great area. There's a lot of big Barksdales, kind of close, a lot of big labs, friends of ours.
I'm working with Blake and Kenny right now, or Bobby, I should say, to go up and do some iVotion training with them because they're getting into that since they have bought their PM7s.
Yeah, we just had them on the podcast, and they were all like, PM7! They were like really impressed with
it. Yeah, I love the machine. I've been working with it since it came out, and
I've got two.
I love it. Yes.
And I love them as well.
Yeah. But Ivocar has a facility in Buffalo for training. Do you put on courses there?
I do. In fact, I'm there 2 weeks from today, or
do
2 weeks from yesterday to do an iVotion training.
Oh, right.
iVotion and ExoCAD.
Do you do anything but iVotion? Seems like
I do a lot of iVotion.
Yeah.
I definitely do a lot of that. And it's kind of what people have known me for, but I do all kinds of other things. I do Emacs classes. I do zirconia classes, for Zircad and Zircad Prime, things like that. So that, a little bit of everything. You know, I'm looking forward to now with our printer being re-released this year. I'm looking forward to doing maybe some Emacs.
You guys have a printer?
Print and press. Yeah, our PR5 is just being re-released. We brought it out a couple years ago. And it's a great printer, but we were using Cambridge, and at that point, 3Shape had already stopped supporting Cambridge as their Canon software.
Yeah, that's a little
glitch, it kind of put things on the back burner. We redesigned and created our own CAM software now that is very automated, makes it very quick and easy to do.
Best of the best.
So yeah, so it's nice to have that back out. Sweet. And with that, I'm looking forward to maybe doing some print and press type courses.
Oh, I'd like to go to that.
Oh yeah, I think it's going to be great because press technology is one of those things that everybody thinks, oh, Ivoclar's gone all digital. They want you to do nothing but milling Emacs. There's still so many things to do with pressing.
Oh yeah,
you know,
big time.
Don't press everything. If I am going to do a small lower anterior, I don't mill any of those because it can be problematic just because of those. The hole inside where the prep goes can be so small.
You
can't get in there without breaking it.
I know.
And that's where pressing comes in handy
for
that. So it's still a great technology to have out there, and especially for the smaller guys where maybe they can't afford a big mill or they got that mill tied up with zirconia.
I still print press. That stuff.
Yeah.
If I have a veneer or something, a veneer case or a implant, we still press a lot of
press that.
Absolutely. And, you know, it works extremely well.
Yeah.
I've got a question, though, about the iVotion because I don't know a lot. What makes it so special? Why is it amazing, taking off? I mean, BJ was talking about it yesterday. The Denture Man was just talking about
it. Everybody likes it.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's just the best material.
I love iVotion. I love iVotion because it fully automates. I put a disc in and I get a full denture out. I don't have to go put it in, take it out, bond teeth into it, put it back in, or do any cleanup or anything like that of a bonding material between the tooth and the base.
Wow.
I get to put one in and take it out. And people say, how does that work? You got a pink and a white tooth or disc together. And, you know, there were some before iVotion came out, and I've seen some after it, that were just a plain disc that were a straight line between the pink and the white.
Yeah.
Which that is not the case with iVotion. iVotion has got a special geometry that we developed that by looking at thousands of already proven dentures that were out there that people were wearing and how they fit, and we kind of looked at how that tooth spacing was, and they developed this, we call it a shell geometry, kind of looks like a scallop shell. So it's got little ridges and little grooves in it, and we figured out that the posterior teeth can be in one spot in those grooves, anterior teeth in another spot, and it works very well for differentiating. Is it going to be for every denture? No, but it's going to be for the majority of them out there. And we're I'm seeing new innovations that we're working on right now in development that are going to make it even neater. I can't really talk about them, but they are there.
Well, you're Ivoclar.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure you guys are going to come up with something and better and better and better.
What can you not talk about again?
Well, no.
So is it the PM7 that uses and that mills those discs?
Any of our program mills can actually do it. Any of our program mills, so you could get with the program mill dry, you get the 3, the 5, or the 7. Any of them will do it. I will tell people that if they're going to do it, I only recommend the PM7, especially if they're going to be doing the majority of milling PMMA.
Yeah.
Because
a couple of reasons.
Hard.
It's hard to mill, so that larger spindle, more powerful spindle in the PM7 is better.
Yeah.
The PM7 also has a larger spindle, so the PM dry, the PM3, the PM5, they all have the spindle size will only take up to a 3-millimeter tool. It's got a 3-millimeter collet in it.
Yeah, denture use big burrs.
That PM7 has a 6-millimeter collet in it, and will allow us to use a 5-millimeter roughing mill burr in there.
Yeah,
and it will hog through that PMMA
like
hot butter.
I was just going to say, it's going, man.
Yeah, it does, and it's loud. When that first, that works, but within 5 minutes, 10 minutes, it has done the majority of that milling, and it will cut 45 minutes off the mill time between the PM7 and the PM3.
Wow.
So
iVotion, but you got a printer. Are you going to be printing dentures on this thing, or are you guys sticking with iVotion?
Well, I wish I could talk about it.
Coming.
I wish I could talk about it, but I can't.
Snap.
So, yeah.
So the answer's not no.
The answer's not no. Of course, we're working on something. We're, you know, we're Ivoclar. We're going.
Yep.
We know that subtractive technology is great, but it's not the end all of this of digital. Additive technology, you know, in the long run is cheaper. The material's cheaper. And, you know, you have just as much time working with it because you still have that extensive cleaning process after it's printed.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
But
post-processing.
But it is definitely, additive is definitely the future of where digital is going. You know, I've seen you know, we've got already get, we're working with a company that is doing a printer that is printing our lithium disilicate material.
Ooh, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's interesting. You've seen the printers that are doing zirconia, the new metal printers that are out there.
Yeah.
We all know that that's where things are going and headed towards. So are they all there yet? No, but they will be.
Yeah.
But they will be. Yeah,
that's
exciting one. When I heard saw that last year, I was really interested. But it's a company called Lithos, and they're out of Europe. So,
they're always out of Europe.
They do the printer. They've got the big printer and everything, and then we just supply the material for it to go into it.
And
so
then, yeah, that's cool. That's exciting.
It's a really neat little process. So
well, awesome. Well,
yeah, thanks, Pat.
Oh, thank you.
My pleasure.
Giving us all that information.
Oh, hey.
I love it.
I do what I can. So,
yeah. Good luck to you in your new role.
Thank you. I appreciate
it.
I'm looking forward to it.
Check out the courses.
Yeah.
I'd like to get up there.
Absolutely. Anybody that's interested in them can always go to our website and go to the top of the website where it says learn and find our academy. And we have in-person training. It has all of our trainings throughout the year for both iVotion and Crown and Bridge, and Gary Osborne does a lot of stain and glaze courses for doctors, for in-house. Jeff Smith does a lot of layering courses still.
Yeah.
So those are all still out there, and really love to get people into
it. If a lab wanted you to come out, would you go out, or do you send the
other absolutely.
One? Yeah, okay.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, that's part of the
new
role.
Well, you're going to be really busy.
Yes.
We have a lot of listeners.
Yes. So reach out to me, patrick.coon@ivoclar.com.
Love
to hear from y'all.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thanks for sitting down, sir.
Oh, yeah. Not a problem. Absolutely. Thanks, Elvis. I appreciate it.
Great it.
Barb, thank you.
Hi, good morning. Okay, so we're working. I'll see you in a few.
It looks like Peggy Alexander was just brought in by Barb. Have a seat.
Okay.
Peggy, so how are you?
I'm fine. I'm enjoying this. I've been here since Wednesday.
Wow. Oh, really?
Yes. I'm a member of the American Prosthodontic Society.
Oh, okay.
And a good friend of Paco and Cortez and Marinella.
Oh, wow. Big names.
So we all teach together at the University of Texas Health Science Center at San Antonio.
So you're a teacher?
Yes. I'm a clinical professor.
Wow.
She's a clinical professor. She's 87 years old.
Young.
And a doctor, 87 years young, and an educator, which we all know how much we love the education and the educators. So tell us a little bit about your story.
Well, when I was growing up, my uncle was a dentist, and the family friend was a dentist. And, you know, this is Alabama back in the 50s.
Oh.
And so if you were a female, you were supposed to get an education so you'd have something to fall back on.
Your fallback was
basically stay home and raise the kids.
Well, yes, but no, so they decided they had opened a dental hygiene school at the University of Alabama.
Okay.
So I applied there and was in, I think, the second or third class, you know, that they had. And Alabama at that time didn't require formal education for a dental hygienist.
Anybody could do it?
They could, you know, you'd be taught in the dental office.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Supposedly.
No gloves.
Oh, no gloves, no. So anyway, the thing was that I went through all that, had marvelous teachers. One of the people who taught my dental anatomy was, oh, shoot, what was his name now? There's some kind of an award here. I can't remember what it is. Jack Sherry.
Oh, I know that name.
Yes, yeah. He was a prosthodontist, and he became the dean of the dental school at San Antonio, ultimately.
Oh,
so,
okay.
But anyway, the whole thing about it was that I went through that, and then I said to myself, you know, I want to go to dental school, but I have to get a degree. And I told my father, okay, I want to get a degree so I can apply to the dental school here in Alabama. And he said, no, he had plenty of money. That was not a deal. He says, you've got something to fall back on now, so.
You don't need
it.
You don't need it.
Wow.
You know?
How'd you handle that?
So, okay, I discovered if I took the board in Florida, I could make about twice what I could make in Alabama.
Sure.
So I decided to move to Florida. I moved to Sarasota and had a marvelous practice, was in a wonderful practice. I mean, our patients were McKinley Cantor. I don't know whether you ever heard him. He wrote a lot of books what have you.
So you had the patients.
So I had the patients. I mean, nice. It was a wonderful experience. But I saved all of the money I could, came back to the University of Alabama, got my degree in biology, applied, and they said, honey.
Did your dad know you were doing all this?
Oh, yeah. He finally got to where he said, okay, you know.
All right, my daughter's going up.
Yeah, and began to, you know, support me then. But anyway, but I went over to apply, and the guy said, honey, what is wrong with you? Don't you know nobody would go to women? They're not strong enough.
What?
See, this is back in 1958, and you know,
so that probably made you want to do it more, right?
No, I mean, I knew you can't get horsey, you know, because that's not going to help.
Yeah.
So he said, "Why don't you get married and have children like the rest of your friends?"
Oh, jeez.
So I got married and had children.
Okay.
But I continued. I married a man who was an executive with a company, and you know, all the other wives would sit around and play bridge every day, but I continued to practice hygiene. And so at one point, I just said, okay, when I was 34, the youngest child had gone, you know, he was accepted into college, and then I thought, well, okay, and the next one's going to be ready to go. So I applied. I was living in North Carolina at that time. Mm. I applied there, and they said, we can fill the class with 22-year-olds. You're 34. You're too old.
Now you're too old.
Wow. Jeez. I can't believe they actually said these things to you. It's like, really?
They actually did, you know.
And they thought that was okay.
And it was okay at that time. It's not now, you know.
Yeah, but money is money. I mean, you're still going to... It's not like you're not going to give them money to go to school. I mean,
yeah,
what do they care?
Yeah.
So how'd you handle it?
Okay. One of the people who interviewed me was an African-American guy, and he said, I can already tell you you're not getting in here, but if you will go to Howard or Meharry, I will see that you're accepted there. So I went to Meharry. I was one of five white students in a class of 55. A marvelous experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of... I still am in communication with a lot of my friends there.
That's awesome.
And, in fact, my best friend was LaTanya Bailey, who went to Carolina after Meharry and did the ortho program and became the head of the orthodontic graduate division.
Oh, wow.
There.
You so, know a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a wonderful experience. And then I joined the public health. Oh, husband divorced me for some reason.
You got too smart.
Oh, well, I don't know what it was, but it was. Anyway, so I said, y'all can go to hell. I'm going to go to Texas.
That is the quote of the day.
That is sweet.
So, and anyway, they joined the public health service, and I was assigned to a clinic where most everybody spoke only Spanish. And I didn't speak a syllable.
Yeah.
A lot of barriers. Jeez.
But that's the best way to learn a language.
I guess
throw
so.
Throw yourself in there.
Yeah, and because I had studied French, and so you're kind of familiar with the sentence construction,
yeah,
but still it's a different language. And I immersed
myself in it. So then you were practicing dentist?
So, well, I was in that for several years, and then I remarried a rancher.
So,
I went from being a tree hugger to trying to shoot anything. You know.
Yeah.
But we ate everything we shot.
There you go. Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Anyway, so that was a nice life. And my youngest son has now become a pediatric dentist.
Oh, wow.
So, and he's practicing over in North Carolina. So, you know, we're kind of keeping it all going. But It's been a challenge in a way, but in another way, it's been a delight.
For
you know,
sure.
Everything has been great. I had a little practice for a little while, and that's when I became so aware of how important it is to work with your laboratory people. I mean, You're a team. And if they see something that you need to know, they need to tell you. And you need to listen. You know, the whole thing is that we're in this together, and it's hard to get a product that is going to last.
Yeah, yeah.
And so anyway, I was given an opportunity to start teaching at the dental school. And that was
Texas?
San Antonio.
Okay.
So that was 30 years ago.
What did you teach?
I'm in the Department of Comprehensive Dentistry, but I also have done a good bit of research with Tom Oates, who is a periodontist, and we're doing a lot of dental implants, and I would do the prosthodontic treatment. So I'm kind of, leaning is toward being a prosthodontist.
Wow.
So I teach in the pros course. And
still,
yeah,
that's amazing.
And so anyway, it's been a great life.
What the heck are you doing here at Lab Day?
I was just gonna ask you. Well, you said you were at many places, so take us through your week. You got here Wednesday.
And I'm good friends with Paco Cortez, who was the president last year of the American Prosthodontic Society.
Oh, okay, wow.
And his wife Marinella Varial is, I teach with her in the clinic. I work in the clinic itself one day a week, but the rest of the time I run the screening clinic. So when anybody wants to come to the dental school to be a patient, then they have to go through a screening process so that we know where they need to go.
Oh, I see.
You know, if they walk in off the street. I mean,
so
some
you,
of
like,
them.
Treatment planning kind of thing? Or?
We don't treatment plan. We decide. We do a quick
assessment
about, you know, this person just needs to have their teeth cleaned. You know, and so we send them to dental hygiene. And somebody else, you know, it looks like they have a few operative things that need to be done. So they'll be put in the preclinical.
So
I mean, the predoctoral course.
Do you x-rays, or do you actually get
panoramic,
in the mouth?
Panoramic.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then we look in the mouth, too, to confirm. So it's really a very good way to get everybody. And then some people we identify immediately that they need to be in the specialty clinic.
Yeah.
So we'll send them to advanced general dentistry or to, you know, if they've got some immediate need, we'll send them to grad endo something like that.
That's cool.
So it's kind of figuring it out, you know, on the spot. And that's really exciting.
Okay, so you got here Wednesday. You hang out with friends.
Yep. They had two whole days of lectures.
For the prosthodontist?
For the pros, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of it was showing all of this new technology and how you need to understand what to do and what not to do.
I love that.
Because, I mean, zirconium, I'm telling you, people, the dentists who do not know how to manage it are creating problems, you know.
What does that mean? Help me understand that.
Okay, the structure of zirconium, if you don't polish it correctly.
We talked about that yesterday.
Then you create these microfractures, and then all of a sudden the patient shows up at my clinic, and they're from outside, you know, somebody else outside didn't pay attention to what they were doing or maybe didn't understand what they were doing. And they come in, and they've had a 3-unit FPD done, and half of it's broken off right at the pontic, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're mad and they're unhappy because they spent all that money and this thing is broken. And so that's why I want to get us to where we are letting dentists who have not acquainted themselves with the techniques to understand, you know, there are certain things you can and cannot do.
Yeah. And it's one thing to teach a bunch of prosthodontists that. How do you tell the generals?
That's right.
That same thing. You know, they're not going to those courses.
Uh-huh.
But they need to know it. They're the ones placing all these zirconia units.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
And I'm surprised they don't know that. I mean, it's such a no-brainer.
I'm sure some do.
For us it is. But it's kind of scary, though, because they are doing a lot of that grinding. And just to think about how many are going to fail eventually down the road because they don't know that, that's kind of scary.
Well, that's why we just have to keep plugging away and, you know, making sure that we're
educating
them and have the dentists communicate with the lab people. I mean, everybody's in it together.
Yeah, 100%.
If the lab sees something, if the dentist sees something, you know, communicate for Pete's sake.
Yeah.
You know, we're not at a different level. We're all in the same boat.
So why are you not teaching a course here at Lab Day and letting us know all this good stuff? We need this information, too.
Next year.
You should set up a course. Talk about this kind of stuff.
She's like, spare time. I'm busy enough, right? So what are you doing actually here?
Well,
so do you just go to all the vendors? Are you going what?
I just
today?
Wanted to come over today and
pretty
just,
neat.
You know, see what's going on and look to
have you,
see.
Have you been to the exhibit hall yet downstairs?
No. Is there another floor below?
Oh, yeah. That's the big room with thousands
it's
of
crazy.
Whoa, okay. Well, no, I mean, I saw your name, and I've, you know, I'm a Clara, you know, that's a name I know. So I'm going to retire this year.
Oh.
How do you make up your mind that it's time to retire at 87, and I'm giving you a compliment. Like, how do you finally know or?
Because the family house came up for sale, and I was able to buy it.
Okay.
And it is on the Tennessee River.
Mm.
The river is a mile wide right in front of my house.
Wow. You're like so, on the water.
On the water.
That's
right,
nice. Yeah.
You're like, Peggy, out.
But I'm going to open a denture mill.
Are you really?
I love doing dentures.
That is so cool.
I love doing dentures, yeah.
So you're going to continue doing dentures.
Uh-huh, right.
So you're not retiring. You're just kind of retiring.
You're just shifting.
No.
I, with your energy, that doesn't make sense to me how you could.
Well, I'm scared of retiring because I see so many of my friends.
Yeah.
You know, they're just
get meek and
don't
small.
Have, yeah, they
don't
well,
have
if you're making
hope,
dentures,
purpose.
You'll stay busy.
Especially in Alabama.
Yeah.
I didn't say that. Did I?
That's hilarious.
That's great. So where are you going to open a denture mill? How, on your property?
No, in town. You
oh,
know,
that's great.
There's a town called Russellville that's close to Muscle Shells. Have you ever heard of Muscle Shells?
No.
All right. There's a song called Sweet Home Alabama.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
One of the lines in it is Muscle Shells. It's got the Swampers. And that is a musical group. And do you ever look at YouTube?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. There is a documentary about Muscle Shells. And it is absolutely worth watching.
Okay.
Because it's amazing.
Learning something new
there
today.
Okay,
yeah.
The river's full of mussels, M-U-S-S-E-Ls.
Yeah.
But they didn't, this is Alabama, they didn't know how to spell it. It's M-U-S-C-L.
that's
funny. Great.
You can't make this stuff up.
No, you can't, actually. And never lose your sense of humor. That's pretty awesome.
Well, anyway. It's Russellville. The city is half Spanish-speaking people only.
Yeah.
They have a
well,
chicken.
Well, you're used to that because that's where
yeah,
you started.
Truly. And that's why this dentist who's there, he said, you know, I'd really like to open a little clinic there. And that would be great because I can habla de dientes muy
yeah.
bien.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And you can stay busy and just make teeth all day.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, anyway, so now you know that's my story.
I love it.
Peggy, that's great.
Okay, the rancher died of cancer, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So I was not married for a little while. And then I remarried a guy who was a World War II B-24 bomber pilot.
Wow.
He won the Silver Star when he was 24 years old.
Wow.
Because of,
being
you know, incredible
amazing.
Stuff that he
yeah.
did. And he said after that, you know, every day was a gift. But
so true.
He was a an amazing person to be married to, and from Charlotte, you know, so we had all the North Carolina connections and
nice.
Everything. And he died about 3 years ago at 97.
Well, that's awesome.
Wow.
So still buying stocks for growth potential, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, good for you. That's a pretty amazing story. Thank you for sitting
down
with us.
All right. So what do y'all do with this? Just kind of.
So we're the podcast for our dental industry. Oh. Elvis and I have been doing it for about 6 years, and we talk to amazing people every single week, and then we release it. We talk to
people, tune in,
anybody and everybody that would love to sit down and tell us their story and how they got into the industry. And it's a passion of ours, and we love it. So thank
you. Well, you be sure to say, to tell anybody, that a lot of my friends are have the same mentality that I do toward how we have to communicate with our lab people.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Because it's a combined effort.
We don't have to tell them.
We say the same thing.
Them.
Yeah. The loyalty and the communication and the working together, we're all on the same level. I feel like we're really making a difference. And
it's one of the big things we promote on the podcast.
Yeah,
you know?
Just for sure.
Doing it right, communicating well,
mm-hmm.
Work with the best.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Well,
you're
certainly welcome. And I'm going to go over and talk to the Zirconia Restorations people.
Fantastic. There you go.
Let's see what they got to say.
Excellent.
All right.
Thanks.
A huge thanks, you guys, James, Patrick, and Peggy, for sitting down with Elvis and I in the Ivoclar Ballroom at the LMT Lab Day Chicago 2024. It is always great to catch up with old guests, and we love it even more when they bring their kids into our crazy, wonderful profession. I really love that James is helping his son to be a better clinician by showing him the proper way to restore full arch patients on the day of surgery. Good luck on all your future solo conversions. And of course, we are thankful to Patrick for his continued excellent education that he's given to everybody over the years. One of the many things that sets Ivoclar apart is their dedication to making sure everyone has the ability to get education on their products. It's a no-brainer. They're amazing.
Yep.
It's not just a sale for them. They want you to succeed, and they want you to get better. Anybody out there thinks they would be good at taking Pat's old position at Ivoclar and has some passion for education, reach out to Pat. Reach out to Ivoclar. I don't know if that's our role, but why not, right? Sounds like an amazing opportunity for the right person. Who didn't love the story of Peggy, you guys, and all the BS that she had to get through to where she is today? What an amazing woman, and we love that even though she's retiring, I don't think she's retiring. I think she's just retiring some sort of something, and then she's going to go on to bigger and better things. And she wants to make dentures next, obviously, not because she has to, but because she wants to, because she loves making teeth, which I totally get, because I love making teeth.
I could see both of us still doing something tooth-related.
Oh, yeah.
Into our 90s.
I do, too.
All right, everybody. That's all we got for you. And we will talk to you next week.
Have a great week.
Bye.
God, I can't believe it's already March, April. Can't believe
it's April.
Jesus. I'm going to shut up.
The views and opinions expressed on the Voices from the Bench podcast are those of the guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the host or Voices from the Bench, LLC.